Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, the 25th of February, 2014. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com, and of course, we're live over the air each weekday, 12:04, right here on AM 1030 KVOI. The Voice. We'll begin with our contributor in Washington, D.C., Terry Bracey, then certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Shelley came in with a big smile on his face. I think the smile may be a holdover from yesterday's market action. He, of course, hosts our Tuesday Moneymaker Report, followed at 30 minutes or so past the hour, a newsmaker interview with Steve Christie. Mr. Christie is here. He'll be with me in studio. He's the new chair of the Arizona State Transportation Board. Lots to talk about with Steve Christie. Joining us now from the nation's capital on the Buckmaster Show live line. Actually, I think Terry is down in Florida, but normally he is with us from the nation's capital. Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. Terry has enjoyed a long and distinguished career, which began as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He is senior partner in the respected governmental affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents the city of Tucson and the Central Arizona Project. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm great. I'm great. I'm hiding out from the cold right now for a few days.
I thought you might still be down in Florida trying to get away from what many are calling the epic winter of 2014. Hey, Terry, I know you're a big fan. Before we talk some real serious things, quite a weekend of sports here in Tucson with the Wildcat basketball and then the golf tournament.
Well, just fantastic. I love the Colorado game. And you know how Coach Miller has adapted their method of play to adjust to the injuries. They seem to be faster, Bill, better shooting, maybe a team that could go all the way. I sure hope we get a number one seed. I think that's key. I also thought the television coverage of the match play championship was a real plus for us. We missed Tiger, but the final match featured some of the most magical shots from the desert I've ever seen by that Frenchman Victor Dubuisson. And great play by the winner, Jason Day. So I think we saw the best of the new crop. And some of the pictures they took of downtown from Dove Mountain in that perfect weather were just wonderful. Great weekend for Tucson.
Yeah, wonderful publicity. Of course, people shivering back east, they see those pictures, and they certainly want to come out here. Terry Bracey, lots of folks concerned over the news headlines concerning Chuck Hagel, the defense secretary, and his decision concerning the big cuts from the Pentagon. And it could terminate the entire A-10 fleet. And, of course, that would be bad for Tucson, and perhaps behind that another base closure process that could threaten DM. Bring us up to date. What's your perspective on this, Terry?
Well, Secretary of Defense Hagel outlined his plans, already approved by the Joint Chiefs, for a new military to meet the threats of the 21st century. He's talking about a new kind of warfare, Bill, that does not involve large armies. And one of the big cuts, it seems, would be in the entire A-10 fleet, the Warthogs, which provide close ground support. You know, the Warthog was originally built designed to destroy Russian tanks in an invasion of Europe, something now viewed as a long shot for sure. But meanwhile, Congressman Barber, who has successfully fought in the past for the A-10, has announced his intention, as I heard on the news again, to do so. And we expect that he'll have a lot of backing in the Congress. He's been very, very effective in this. So we'll have to wait and see on that. Because it is currently the bread and butter for DM. This was not completely unexpected, Bill, even though the fleet was recently re-winged at a cost of $1 billion. We are winding down two wars in the Middle East, and, Bill, there are going to be cuts.
Well, the A-10 fight, of course, eventually is going to play out in the regular legislative process, but Davis-Monthan is also threatened by another one of these rounds of base closures.
We have to be on guard for sure. DM though, you know, Bill has so many advantages. The weather, the Goldwater Range, a welcoming community that's become a favorite spot for military retirees. We have an awful lot going for us. But we can see tough decisions coming, and decisions that have followed every conflict America has engaged in. The biggest, of course, was World War II, when in the flush of victory, President Truman became very unpopular, in part because he closed down hundreds of bases overnight. Eisenhower, Johnson, Reagan, Clinton, all closed bases. It's always unpopular, and it always puts communities at risk.
You've been through some of these base closures. Take us through, what is the process for the base closures?
Well, in 1990, Congress passed the Base Closure Act, which established a process for evaluating bases and realigning or closing them. The president appoints a commission of distinguished citizens who accept from the Secretary of Defense and the military their recommendations on which bases they think should stay open and which closed and which to receive new assignments. The commission holds hearings on all the impact in all the impacted areas, reviews the pros and cons, and makes its own decision. For the most part, the process is protected from politics, but not entirely, Bill. So communities are wise to make their best cases. The commission, within about a year, makes its final recommendations to the president, who can make changes, but rarely does. Then it goes before Congress for an up or down vote. No amendments, no individual bases can be selected for special treatment. This is one of those rules we've talked about in the past, Bill, where the legislative branch sort of protects itself from bad policy by allowing its members to fight publicly for their bases, but not take down the whole package. It's a very, very complicated process. It's a long process. It's well thought out. There is some politics in it, no question, but it's pretty objective.
I've been through a couple of these. I think the last one where Tucson got very close was on the closure list was 1995. Am I correct on that?
That's right. Now, I'll tell you, it was quite a close call. I heard about the threat to DM one afternoon. I was outside in the U.S. Senate floor working on an appropriation bill when a senior member, whose name shall not be mentioned, approached me and said he had just seen a preliminary list of base closures, and did I know that DM was on it? Well, I almost fainted. And so I immediately picked up the phone and called Mayor Miller, George Miller, who quickly called a meeting the next week in Tucson of the community leaders from DM50 and other organizations, and we got going on a strategy. We were informed that the proposed closure was based on a theoretical cost-benefit analysis by the Pentagon Brain Trust, and we knew we didn't have the political clout to simply overturn it. So Mayor Miller gave me the budget to go out and hire one of the top defense analysts in Washington, a guy named Dr. Barry Blechman, and we went after the assumptions in the formula. We went after the substance. Blechman discovered in the process that the planners had not even considered in their calculations the potential liability for the Pentagon of having to move all the old planes from what we call the boneyard.
Boy.
In fact, there was no place to move them. So this became a key factor in the ultimate victory, and Bill, it led to one of the more interesting meetings I've ever attended in Washington.
Was Mayor Miller involved in that meeting in Washington?
He was indeed. I accompanied the mayor and members of the delegation. A handful of community leaders organized, I believe, by Bruce Dusenberry. And the mayor sat directly across from Air Force Secretary Sheila Widnall. And to the best of my recollection, and my recollection's getting weaker by the year, but he said something like the following: Madam Secretary, the people of my community are patriots. And if it's decided it's in the best interest of the country that DM is to be closed down, well, we accept the decision. However, Madam Secretary, if that is the decision, we will ask you to take all the old planes in the boneyard with you, so that we can develop a very valuable section of land. Well, I just saw the secretary, watched her as she looked up, stared across the room at her brain trust, and asked if they had factored moving the planes into their calculations. And it turned out, as we knew, they had not. Bill, 2 weeks later, the city received word that DM not only met the standards, was off the list, but it was now rated the second most cost-effective base in the nation.
Well, let's hope the Boneyard will be a big factor in keeping DM here. Terry, any advice for community leaders who are so concerned about this based on your experience?
Well, people are very smart and very up-to-date, certainly more than I am, but I would have this to say. That's fight for the 810. It's a very important fight. We're all behind Congressman Barber, and hopefully we can win that. But that's also think globally. Think about the military that's being shaped for the future, and it's a very different future, a world of drones and pilotless aircraft and cyber warfare and vastly changing needs. And let's see how DM fits into that larger picture for the long haul.
Terry Bracey, thank you very much for spending some time with us, and I'm sure you're looking forward to going back to D.C. Well, the weather may be better in a couple of weeks. Who knows?
I'm praying.
Terry, thank you. Have a great week.
Thanks, Bill.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show has been presented by Moncada Construction, licensed, bonded, and insured. Chris Moncada and his team specialize in interior painting, drywall repair, carpentry, and insurance restoration. Call 520-390-2247 or on the web at moncadaconstruction.com, M-O-N-C-A-D-A. We'll be right back with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Do you want to learn how to live healthier for your stage of life?
Then make plans to attend the Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo on March 8th at Casino del Sol.
Discover new ways to enrich your daily life. Stay healthier and be informed and engaged for the different life stages from midlife and beyond.
The Pima Council on Aging Ages and Stages Expo features 150 local exhibitors, a wide range of fun activities, food, demonstrations, seminars, prizes, and live musical entertainment.
The Ages and Stages Expo is free for adults of all ages, March 8th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Casino del Sol. Event proceeds benefit Pima Council on Aging. For more info, visit pcoa.org. Presented in part by Arizona Daily Star, Assurance Healthcare, TEP, and this station.
If aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. So attend the PCOA Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo, March 8th at Casino del Sol.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And welcome to our Tuesday Moneymaker Report, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you?
I'm well today. Bill, how are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. I think that the market is showing not so much today, but a little bit of recovery.
Well, actually, we've pretty much recovered everything that we lost in January.
I wondered about that. Where are we for the year?
We're about flat. We ended up December on a high, mm-hmm. and not a Colorado high, a national high, and pulled back about 6% in January, and now we've recovered. Yesterday, we actually were exceeding those highs in intraday trading. Today, we're down a couple of points, essentially flat. Just people kind of consolidating the trades that they've made over the past week or two. So what we thought might have been a pullback or a correction turns out not to have been a correction. And so I'm still expecting that there will be one this year.
What was the factor that turned things around?
Well, again, the economy is on a steady improvement. It's not going gangbusters, but on the other hand, it's doing well enough. And we're seeing forecasts for growth in the area of 3 to 3.5% this year. Corporate profits are very, very healthy. The unemployment numbers are improving every month. When you take a look at it month by month, you see some stumbles along the way. But when you take a look at the economy in general, and most importantly, compare it to our trading partners, compare it to the rest of the industrialized world, and see that we are outpacing them on the recovery, then you can see that this kind of middle-of-the-road approach that we took seems to have really worked, Bill, in ways that are kind of surprising. I mean, you had people on the left saying more stimulus, more steam, and people on the right saying let the market kind of do its thing. We took a middle-of-the-road approach. We did some stimulus. We did some tax cutting.
Kind of mix and match.
Yeah, mix and match. Yeah. We did some regulations that we thought needed to be done. But
and then the new Fed chair got involved.
And the new Fed chair
not
is involved. Janet.
Involved, but not a lot involved.
Well, remember, Janet Yellen was the vice chair. So she and Bernanke worked together for years. Bernanke, a Republican. Janet Yellen, a Democrat. We had Treasury Secretary Geithner, who was a Republican. We had the advisors to the president, largely on the left side of the economic spectrum. And so the policies are very middle-of-the-road policies. And when you take a look at Europe, when you take a look at some of the developing countries and see the different approaches that they took to the crisis, and you see that we outpaced them, I think we did a pretty good job. And the market votes with its dollars, and the market has voted very positively in the recovery. Europe is catching up to the market improvements. I have some of my clients invested in European markets, Northern Europe, not Southern Europe, and they're doing well. The bond market is surprisingly robust, even though everybody agrees interest rates are going to go up. They have crept up a little bit, but the bond market, which took a real big hit last May, has almost fully recovered from that hit. People's portfolios as a result, whether they're conservative portfolios, bond-heavy, income-heavy, or more aggressive portfolios with more risk in them, they've all done well. So it's an interesting time in the markets. And what we're seeing now from most advisors and from most people who advise advisors is that we're coming to a more normal time, a time in the markets that is going to resemble the past 80 years more than the past 10.
Shelley Fishman is with us. It is our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley, certified financial planner. And Shelley, we over the last couple of sessions with you, we've been talking about some of the things about the relationship between a client and a certified financial advisor. And I think it's worth repeating that you need to meet one-on-one with your thinking about a certified financial planner, get to know that person. Bring some questions, and then both of you can decide whether it's going to be a fit.
Absolutely, and it has to be a collaboration. Bill, one of the things that is talked about in my profession is the idea that clients seem to be intimidated by the expertise or the supposed expertise that advisors have. Hmm. And as a result, clients are reluctant to push back and challenge and ask the tough questions that they need to be asking before they hire an advisor or keep the relationship going. It's very important that a client understand that they're the customer, that the advisor is working for them, and that there is, you know, no matter how fancy the office or no matter how lofty that advisor might seem in terms of his or her reputation or years in the business or you know, whatever the trappings of their success might be, the client is still the customer, and the customer has a right and a responsibility to ask tough questions, not only about what the advisor charges and how the advisor gets paid, but what the advisor's background is, what his expertise is, how his back office operates, what kind of support he gets from the home office, what kind of supervision he or she gets from you know, whatever line chains of command they have.
How are you regulated?
You bet. I mean, those things, of course, apply across the board, but a client needs to understand those things. And so it is very, very important that clients not feel in any way intimidated when they do this very important job of selecting a new advisor or what is also a very conscious decision, the conscious decision to keep the advisor you have.
Why do you think people are intimidated, though? That because their knowledge of the financial scene might be less than they would like.
I think that's it. In part, I think that people tend to believe that the choices that they've made in the past are good ones, and mm-hmm. there's a kind of a hesitance to make changes. You know, how often do you challenge your doctor? You know, the doctors advise us something, and you say, no, I don't want to do that. Or mm-hmm. or explain to me better why that's the right thing for me to do.
Why do I really need this test?
Why do I really need this test? Or are there alternatives? You know, do you do that with your doctor? Some people do.
Some
but
don't.
Most people don't.
Most don't.
And I'm not equating myself with a doctor, but the relationship is still one of power and shouldn't be.
All right, Shelley, we're going to wrap it up. Where can people get a hold of you?
Bill, 940-0884, or on thebuckmastershow.com, or on shelleyfishman.com. Either way, reach me, give me a call, and we'll get together and see if a relationship with me makes sense.
All right, Shelley, I hope it's a very productive and profitable week for you.
You too, Bill. Thanks. Thank you.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. Biosphere 2, open daily, north of Tucson, America's science city.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house?
Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:34 on this Tuesday afternoon. Joining me in studio, Steve Christie. Mr. Christie is the new chair of the Arizona State Transportation Board. Steve Christie is a native Tucsonan. He represents Pima County on the Transportation, the State Transportation Board, and he has served on the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA, and the Pima Association of Governments Regional Council since 2009. Steve, good to see you.
Well, great to see you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
It is always nice when a Tucsonan gets to be a chair of a state board.
Well, it only
usually overlooked.
Yeah, it only comes around once every 6 years on the state board, and I've been telling all our stakeholders in Southern Arizona, let's make hay while the sun shines, because we don't have another chance for another 6 years.
I want to talk about the interstate, what's being called the proposed I-11. There's been talk of extending it just to Phoenix and forgetting about Southern Arizona. Where does this stand right now?
At this particular point, I-11 was designated by Congress as an interstate route between Phoenix, somewhere outside of Phoenix, north to Las Vegas. Just that segment has been officially and formally designated as I-11. One thing we have to bear in mind is, and it's very important that we keep it in context, is this whole I-11 corridor project really is probably 20 to 30 years out before we're going to see
that far down the line.
Between funding and studies and all kinds of public input, this is going to be a long process that's going to probably not be seen in our generation or lifetime, and maybe in our grandkids. So it's still nonetheless an important project to have out there for the future of Arizona. But going back to that I-11, it became apparent that the benefits of I-11 between Phoenix and Las Vegas could only be enlarged if it was to include a statewide project from Las Vegas as we feel to Nogales. Right now we've got the country of Mexico pounding on our door in Nogales, demanding, begging, pleading to do commerce and trade with us. And it seems like we're making it more and more difficult for them to do that by not accepting the fact that they are our biggest trading partners, and it only makes sense to bring up all of their goods and services from Nogales through Southern Arizona up to the Phoenix area and on points north through Las Vegas and up through the Canamax corridor. So from a perfectly logical standpoint and a reasonable standpoint, rather than focusing on Phoenix to Las Vegas, we're urging that the State Department of Transportation, the Federal Highway Administration, all the entities that have something to do with this corridor project, look at it as a statewide project and not solely through the microscope of Phoenix to Las Vegas.
It's just crazy to think that this would end at, be a Phoenix area to Las Vegas with, as you say, Mexico just really exploding with their commerce right now. In fact, if we hesitate on this, Steve Christie, already Mexico is moving more and more of the commerce to the Laredo area and to Texas.
As well as to Long Beach. Long Beach is investing millions and millions in the port there, as you point out, is Laredo and Texas. I remember attending some meetings with trade officials from Mexico here in Tucson not that long ago, maybe a year and a half. And it was kind of a panel setting where they had, as I say, a number of trade officials from Mexico. And one of the comments that one of these officials made that really struck home is that, you know, we down in Mexico have been begging for a way to get our produce and our trades and our products up into North America. And we've been talking to many areas and entities in along the southern border, but not once was there anybody from Tucson, and not once was there anybody from Arizona. They weren't even at the table. But Texas is there. California is there. Matter of fact, Texas has a couple of offices down in large cities in Mexico for trade and trade alone.
Steve Christie is with us. He's the new chair of the State Transportation Board. 790-2040. Mr. Christie would be happy to entertain any questions, transportation questions you have. And if you've got a comment, we would welcome that as well here on the Buckmaster Show. So we're looking 20 or 30 years down the line on this, and it just seems like it really can't wait with the situation with Mexico.
It really can't, but there is one thing holding it all up.
And that is?
Money. And we are desperately in need of funding, of new sources of funding. There's just so much need with so little money to go around, and this is a huge project. The Federal Transportation Highway Administration, that account that they have for developing roads throughout the country, I heard is planning on going bankrupt within 3 to 5 years, and then they're going to have to designate more and reauthorize more monies from somewhere. So as it all comes down to, I remember my dad saying when I had a great idea of in our business, he'd say, "Well, that sounds great." He says, "All it takes is money."
And that is what certainly is limiting the future of this Interstate 11, but the planning goes on. When we're talking about Phoenix, Tucson, there had been a lot of talk about a high-speed rail transportation link between the two. Is there any viability of that? Is that still alive, Steve Christie?
That is still alive. There's a current study being produced right now with ADOT, a feasibility study, environmental impact study. There's been a number of studies already completed. They're predicting results of these studies probably sometime in the summer. Matter of fact, I've asked that at our next state board transportation board meeting in Phoenix next month that the rail study issue be put on as an agenda item for an update. So it's timely that you ask me the question. But as you are well aware of, and I'm sure everybody is, that even though we all love to hear whistles in the night and the attraction of train and rails, the cost involved is just phenomenal. And my feeling is a skeptic is in the what I call the not enough phase. Not enough money, not enough need, not enough use.
Mm-hmm.
And if there can be studies that can justify the cost per mile, the cost per rider, and the end result, what is this going to provide us and justify the end result, then I'm sure that there will be some kind of a accommodation made for rail. But again, it's all going to be funding. If you take the cost of a mile of track or railway thoroughfare versus the cost of a mile of highway construction, it's night and day and astronomical. Yeah.
Steve Christie is with us, and there have been areas, of course, that have made that very successful. I was thinking of Albuquerque to Santa Fe. They have a rail system that runs up there, and but you're right. It is, again, it gets back to that word money. And right now, I think we're looking at a situation with deteriorating. A lot of the interstate needs a lot of work. The road between Phoenix and Tucson, is that an upgrade? Is that in the future? And a possible widening on that?
Well, one thing I've been making a note of is all these plans for the Inner West Mountain Corridor and I-11 and all of those studies. These are great projects, but we have enough on our plate right here facing us that are short-term issues that I think could be addressed and that would prove to be monumentally helpful. For instance, I-10 between here and Phoenix alone, You know, you have the beautiful six lanes from here up to Picacho, and then right. all of a sudden it drops down to four, and then it goes back to six mm-hmm. after Coolidge, and then drops back down to four around Casa Grande, and then back up to six, and then before you get to Phoenix, it drops down to four again. Anybody who's spent any time on that road knows how terribly dangerous that is. Mm-hmm. Then you, of course, throw the dust storms into the mix there, and it makes it even more treacherous. So my feeling is that that's something that we can do short term that certainly will alleviate a lot of the travel issues, widening alone. And the State Transportation Board is charged with putting out a five-year plan every year that goes 5 years out for construction projects.
For all state?
For
all state
the entire
roads?
State.
Okay. All right.
And the widening had been way out there because of the expense. Mm-hmm. Now we're coming to a point where maybe 6 years from now, 7 years from now, 8 years from now, we are going to be able to make those widening assets that are so much needed. I'd like to push them down closer to our present timetable, but again, it's a matter of funding. And if we do that, we could possibly lose out on some really good projects that are in the current 5-year proposed program. Ina Road, Ruthroff Road. There's a number of traffic interchanges that are going to be in the plan that really need to be improved. And then hopefully we can get to the widening all the way from here to Phoenix.
All right. Steve Christie has graciously accepted our invitation to stick around for a second segment here on the Buckmaster Show. And just like all politics are local when it comes to roads, all potholes are local. We're going to talk about what are called the HERF funds with Steve Christie as we continue on this Tuesday afternoon on Buckmaster.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. Check out the fantastic savings during the February Valentine's Day sale at the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday afternoon. This portion is presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, and they want me to urge all of you, our listeners, to please enjoy the area over there, the Gila National Wilderness in Silver City. So much to do, and it's really only a three and a half hour drive east of Tucson, and again, it's Silver City, one of America's top 100 arts communities. Great places to stay in the area, like Little Toad Creek Inn and Gila Hot Springs Ranch. The full list of things to do and places to stay on their fine website, which is Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. We're talking with Steve Christie. Steve is the new chair of the Arizona State Transportation Board, and we're going to go now, Steve, to the Buckmaster Show live line, and I think we have David is with us. Go ahead, David.
Yes, I wanted to bring up the fact that the reason why they don't have enough money to fix the potholes, they're diverting money to other areas. They spent, I don't know how many tens and tens of millions of dollars widening I-10 to 8 lanes through Tucson, and they're going to have to widen 8 lanes all the way up to Tangerine Road. They have widened every major north-south road, 4 lanes, like Shannon, La Cholla, La Canada, First, and I think La Cholla just LaToya, there's 2 miles that cost the taxpayers $21 million, and then they have spent tens of millions of dollars building the Twin Peaks interchange and the Twin Peaks extension to serve all the new homes they built north of Tangerine Road, and all these new roads have to be built to serve new development.
Okay. Okay, David. I think David's comment, Steve Christie, is that we're not putting enough money into potholes, but I guess some of the RTA projects were not really designed for fixing potholes.
Well, that's true.
Did I characterize that right?
Yes, you did. Yeah. The mission of the RTA was not for maintenance, and it was not to repair existing roads or existing thoroughfares with RTA funds. RTA funds, which was the half-cent sales tax increase that was implemented by the voters and approved by the voters in 2006, was designed solely and specifically for improving existing roadways and intersections, not to maintain them. Though I share David's feelings 100%, unfortunately, or fortunately, as whichever way you want to look at it, I think the people that benefited from those projects, particularly the Twin Peaks one, will say that was money well spent. And I think if you look at the 500 to 600 projects around town that the RTA money and funds went for instance, widening intersections and improving roadways and bus stops, pullouts, and things of that nature, I think that the majority of people would say that's money well spent. But to David's point, there is no accommodation, and there never was intended to be, to maintain existing roads or prior roads that needed maintenance. And to that point, the RTA is going to need to be reauthorized eventually. It runs for 20 years, so it would be 2026 that it would need to be reauthorized by that date. However, it's always seems to be a better idea to get the reauthorization well in advance of that. And backing up what David says, if we could reauthorize the RTA system well before the 2026 deadline, we can accommodate, or we feel it would be best at that point to accommodate maintenance and repairs for roads throughout the RTA structure. But unfortunately, for potholes anyway, there was no accommodation of maintenance that was ever included or as a mission statement of the RTA.
And why was that? Because this was designed mainly to be a new program with new road building.
It was designed mainly to be a new roadway program to cure and address all the congestion and mobility issues that were plaguing us even more so than they are now prior to 2006. And I think they've accomplished a great deal of that being addressed. But if we look back at before 2006, you know, the reason why the RTA came to be and why it was so heavily passed and favorably passed by the voters is because at that time Tucson was in a huge traffic bottleneck and gridlock. And as in all good things that come to pass, it's usually done from a source of frustration or exasperation, and that's what the voters felt at that particular point, and that improvements in our existing roadways needed to be made, and that was the mission and the goal of the RTA. It did not include maintaining prior roads or fixing roads. That's the jurisdiction's responsibility. That's the city of Tucson, all the jurisdiction members of the RTA, which just to name them, are City of Tucson, Marana, Oro Valley, Sahuarita, the nations, South Tucson, and of course Pima County.
So they've got to take care of their own jurisdictions.
How it was approached. That was how it was mandated. RTA will make roads directed to increase mobility and reduce congestion, and then the existing jurisdictions there. Their mandate and their direction was to maintain existing roads.
What is the funding solution, as far as you're concerned, to this pothole problem? And it is interesting that you brought up the focus of RTA. Really, congestion was the big thing. And I remember covering all of this, we didn't talk a lot about maintenance or potholes during that whole thing. I mean, it's like maybe we've addressed now the congestion thing, and now it's potholes are on everybody's mind.
Yeah, but the problem that brings up is that there still is another 15 years, 14 years of the RTA projects that are going to be continuing on, and nowhere in that current mission is there anything about fixing potholes. The jurisdictions within the RTA system are responsible and always have been responsible for fixing potholes. You ask for my feeling. Well, I'd have to say there has to be a realignment of jurisdictional priorities. Their budgeting, in their list of allocation of tax monies, somewhere they're not being appropriated to meet and address the core issues that I think jurisdictions are responsible for. One of which, not the least of which, of course, is maintaining our roads. Monies in budgets within the city, within the county, within the jurisdictions are many and varied as to where they go, but they need to be brought back in line to face the reality that we have a significant maintenance problem in existing roads prior to the RTA and still existing after the RTA.
And we can't count on the highway user funds to solve the problem.
Well, not at this point. the legislature has been historically taking all the highway user revenue funds, which are the gas taxes, both state and federal, and they've been sweeping them out of the ADOT budget in order to balance other areas within its own budget. So consequently, I've heard figures, I think at some point, $380 million a year has been swept out of HERF revenues that could have gone to new projects or existing projects within the ADOT system, and that would include maintenance.
All right, Steve Christie, congratulations on your chairmanship of the Arizona State Transportation Board. How many members are on that board, Steve?
We're a 7-member board made up of
All geographic locations?
Divided into districts throughout the state that represent counties throughout the state. I happen to represent Pima County. There's two other board members that represent Maricopa County, and then the balance have the outlying counties as well.
Well, it's nice that Tucson has a prominent voice on the board. Steve, thank you very much. It was good to see you.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water when they come on the Buckmaster Show, and we thank Culligan for that. Coming up tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson. The local news talk continues with Chris and Joe, and then a new talk show from 8 to 9. It's Christy Simone and the Daily Double. Chris and a guest host every day on that program. And we'll be back with you. Rosemary Brad, our ace producer, and myself will be back with you at 12:04. Tomorrow with the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.